Welcome into the Boardroom Podcast. I'm Ward 6 Alderman Ben Piper.
How you doing, Ben? I'm Ward 4 Alderman Chad Wicker. What's been going on, man?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Springtime, starting to rain. Everything's starting to get growing. And what comes with that?
What's that?
Events.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Farmer's market.
Golf tournaments.
It's warmed up. Everybody's getting out of the house.
We're recording this on Friday morning, so tomorrow is the Palmer Homes Mudbug Bash. That's always a great event that we do downtown Hernando on Panola Street there. It's a great event. So
I think sold out.
Yeah, Ben and I both be there, I think, along with 500 tickets, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because the band,
I
think it's called the Mustache Band.
That's right,
Ben? They played at a friend of mine's wedding several years ago. You know Dane Chamberlain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the energy guy. They played at their wedding there at Cedar Hill Farm several years ago. That's the first I'd ever heard of them. And they do a good job. They put on a good show, for sure.
They play a lot of the 90s country music that probably a lot of people in our age bracket have memorized every single song, you know. So
yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, early 90s country. And
yeah, you might hear some Check Yes or No or some Chattahoochee.
What?
No, I'm just naming songs off. You know, Check Yes or No. George Strait. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right, you got to get with it now. I think it's George Strait.
Are y'all doing baseball or softball?
No. So, you know, my kids are not baseball kids.
Okay.
They just don't. For one reason or another, they just haven't really gotten into it. They like hitting the ball around the house, but not actually playing a game of baseball. So we've, you know, Ann Wallen plays tennis as well. So she's getting ready for some tournaments this summer in South Haven and whatnot, so she can, you know, continue doing that.
I saw a video of her singing this morning, man. Yeah. She got a little Taylor Swift in her, man. You better.
Oh, she would love to hear that. She's all about some Taylor Swift too. So
yeah, but she did good, man.
She did good. She had a solo.
Are they in the little choir group there?
Yeah, they're in the choir at Oak Grove. So, she had a solo with her friend there, and they had a little duet too, and they did great. So, you know, that's one of those programs that have been really talented kids.
The fine arts, Miss Cox.
Lots of really talented kids there.
I went to high school with Miss Cox.
Did you really? How about that? Shout out, Miss Cox. So, had all that going on. We've got Chad and I've got a trip to Washington, D.C. coming up, the Congressional Blue Ribbon trip.
First of May.
Essentially, we go with our hat in our hand asking for federal funds from Cindy Hyde Smith and Roger Wicker and Trent Kelly and Michael Guest and all these other elected officials that represent the state of Mississippi.
The federal delegation.
That's it. And essentially just say, what are the priorities for DeSoto County and for Hernando, you know, which will most likely be the expansion of I-55 and also fixing the commerce exit. By far is like the two big ones, I think, that we'll be pointing to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that we've got to get that addressed and get funding, secure funding for that. Kind of on that same topic, I think it's that time of year in the state legislature where they're doing, you know, everything's in a conference committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's been referred to a conference. So that means you have three from the House, three from the Senate meet together. And that's really where the laws are decided, a lot of the spending laws, a lot of spending bills. So there's some hope, some optimism that we may get a little extra money in transportation to maybe help secure some funds to do something with the interstate project, like the widening of I-55. Yeah. So I think we've done this on before. We encourage people to go to drivingdesoto.org and sign the petition there and have some other information on how to, you know, contact your representative to get their ear. But I think everybody here in DeSoto County is supportive of that expansion project.
It's one of those interesting things where, you know, when we've had the lieutenant governor on, we've had the governor on.
That's right.
Well, both of them will tell you they agree that something needs to be done. It needs to happen. But the check still hadn't hit our bank account yet up here. So
I think we've received $25 million
two
consecutive years. So I think we've got $50 million for a $400
million? It's about a $400 million project. Yeah. So, you know, and they certainly want to see some local buy-in on that as well. And I get that side of the argument too. But it, you know, it's a big economic driver, and you know, I think the governor even told us when we had Tate Reeves on that he'd like to see it three laned all the way to Batesville.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you've been in the same meetings I have with the mayor of South Haven, Mr. Musselwhite, who has said that not expanding the interstate has become an economic
It's economically agitator, restrictive.
I believe is what the words he used for him is restrictive to the was that Church Road there? Mm-hmm. They're, that's what the first expansion would be, and it's really slowing their economic output there.
Yeah. But we'll have that going on early May. But before that, we had a Board of Aldermen meeting in Hernando on April 16th.
Second one of the month.
Second one of the month. So we will get two Tuesday break at the end of this month. That'll be something.
And just so people know, the second meeting of the month is usually a little longer because we have a lot of the planning stuff that was approved at the previous week's planning commission. So usually the second meeting is a little longer. This one lasts about an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe.
About 2 hours, yeah. We had a pollinator garden that we're getting.
I heard that's big. Made the front page of the paper.
Pollinator garden.
I'll tell you what, in there. It must be a slow news day if that's what makes the front page.
2601 Elm Street, pollinator garden is coming soon, and we do need pollen. We need bees. It's important to have plants and all this stuff. And
right.
That's great to see that is moving forward there. We also, if you want to learn Spanish, you got a new class coming up. The language exchange programs.
See,
is if I remember,
no habla español.
Yeah, you got a habla español. They will teach you how to habla español. I do not know how to. I do love all of the folks at La Siesta and Guadalajara and all the people that keep us fed in Hernando. They're good people. They work really hard to keep us all happy when we go out to eat. But the language exchange program, Dolly, with our Parks and Recreation program, has brought that forward, and that's going to be a new class offering they have, which is great. We also had an agreement with the Lobos Rush Soccer Competitive Program. They're going to have a couple camps coming up June 10th through the 14th and June 17th through the 21st, open to the public.
Have we got the lights up out there yet? I hadn't been out there.
We're very, very close to having that finished. I'd say early May. All the lights will be out. Will be up and done. They had a little bit of a delay with the contractor vendor out there.
I think we're going to talk about an item a little later, but mm-hmm. I think the soccer program in Hernando, from the rec level to the high school, won the state championship, is really on the uprise, so the uptick. So,
we do have something coming up about soccer here in just a little bit. Chad is right about that. We also have we did have something that got plopped in front of us here last second.
Don't you love that?
I do not, actually. That's why one of the reasons I voted against it. But we approved the lowest and best bid of $1,032,654. For a water plant well. So well diggers are in very much high demand. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they are in very high demand. They're very hard, I guess, to get to bid on things because we only got one bid on this deal. It's for the Byhalia Getwell Road water plant that's going to be going in there. Elevated tank is coming later. Our city engineer is bidding out these individual parts of this project to try to drive down cost. I think we initially budgeted $900,000, so this one came in $132,000 above that. So that was another issue I had with it. But the main thing was that it was just kind of added to our agenda last minute. Sometimes that happens.
So probably listeners of it understand what this is, but there's a development going in at Getwell and Byhalia.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their agreement, the development gave us a piece of land that they dug down and found
water donation land. Yep.
Yeah. And so we're going to put a well there, and then we're going to put a elevated tank over behind Hernando Hills Elementary there in that piece of property, Madison Lakes, and that will supply water to that area to allow for development. So a lot of people have asked why that property has set kind of vacant there for some years now since it was initially approved development. It's because there's no water, and so this is going to get the water to them. They come up with a plan. So once this is done, I think it's probably going to be another, what you think, maybe a year before we're done with all that.
It's going to take some time.
You're going to see some development finally on that side of the town.
Many times we are asked to spend significant amounts of money and there's one bid, and that it irks me a little bit because it's like, look, I mean, I'm in the business world, I'm in the private sector. There's very rarely ever a one bid scenario when you're spending this kind of money.
Yeah, million dollar project. You know, would think there would be some.
I'm not saying there's anything. I'm not saying there's anything funny going on, but it's just kind of like, can we rebid it one more time? And then if you bid it twice and all you get is one company, well, maybe that's just what it is. Everybody's too busy.
I think that's part of it. Probably Ben is that. With the ARPA money, there's probably projects being led all over the state and all over the country. So
this
is an ARPA project. So we according to the mayor, we'll split the cost of that. So it's a matching money there to cover half the cost. But still, I get frustrated sometimes too by the some of the information we get maybe last minute, and I don't think that's intentional. I think they're just trying to keep things moving, and it's the city's growing every day, and we've added personnel to try to do that. And we try to post the alderman packets online and things, and so people see actually what we have. And so essentially, what we've got with this was a highlighted thing on the agenda saying this was added, and then Mr. Joe Franks get up and basically tell us, and not saying anything bad or, but that's just kind of information that we had to. We had to make that decision, so
I may just be getting old.
I'm turning
40 this summer.
We're very reliant on the mayor and his staff to, we're trusting, giving them trust that they're giving us the correct information and doing things the correct way. So
grumpy old men, that's me and you, I guess. I don't know.
Grumpy
sometimes
old men.
Sometimes we just get a little grumpy. I don't know. All right. So another thing we had, there's a rezoning, the Crestview rezoning. It's 49 acres from agricultural to R15. This is just west of Keeneland, West Drive, south of Milam Lane, north of Thousand Oaks. There's been some significant changes that were made to that, and it was voted to be put back to the Planning Commission for May 14th. What does all that mean? So the Planning Commission denied this rezoning initially, and the developer has gone and made changes to it to try to get it approved. By taking in some of the public comment and that sort of thing. And so it's gone from, I think, 82 houses to about 55 houses. There's still plenty of opposition to it, certainly.
I think they've had some entrances or changed the entrance or something, didn't they? So
yep.
I think essentially what – and you made a good point at the meeting, what – it's very discretionary what we're saying needs to go back, to the Planning Commission and be revoted, because we have in the past taken things that – are pretty radically different from what the Planning Commission voted against and when we voted for it. And so I thought your points were very well taken when you were, said maybe that's, we need to develop some kind of procedure to.
The process needs to be looked at, because there were situations where, you have a development come in and it's a, let's say it's a R20. So the lots are 20,000 square feet each. And the Planning Commission denies it, and then it comes to us, and it's an R30. Well, that's a pretty significant change that they've made.
Yeah.
And if we overturn it because of the changes that they made, all it really looks like is that the Planning Commission said no, and then we said yes.
You're right. Right.
That's the easy way of looking at it. Whereas, I would potentially call my Planning Commissioner and say, "Well, yeah, they changed it to R30," and he tells me over the phone, "Well, if it had been R30, I would have probably been for it." So it's kind of like, let's all try to get on the same page a little bit more. But anyway.
Well, really, Ben, that's what the Planning Commission is supposed to do. They're kind of supposed to be a safeguard to kind of iron out those details before it gets to us to kind of speed up the process. And sometimes
and look, they do a great job. They get paid. The folks wonder, you get paid being on the Planning Commission. Yes, you get paid $100 sit there for hours pouring over very small details. So we appreciate all the work that they do, no doubt about it. But that one, anybody that's looking at that Crestview rezoning that's in that Milam, Thousand Oaks, Forest Meadows area, it'll go back to the Planning Commission on May 14th.
Yeah, you're tied in several subdivisions there that have some concerns, and so that's going to be a interesting deal to try to do. So
there's some infrastructure and drainage issues there that they think they can address, and we'll see what they can come up with. But
sure.
Byhalia Road, 460 Byhalia Road, rezoned from R6 to office. So it's about 14 acres of land that I guess Dr. Seymour owns in there.
Yeah, we practiced baseball back in there, but there's a little baseball diamond back there.
Mm-hmm.
That is the old property that, Ben, you may not remember, used to be the, what do you call it, campsite or whatever. I'm trying to think what the word, not VFW, but... the old campsite area. At one time. Anyway, so that I think I guess some either Dr. Seymour owned it back then, or he's bought it, and now he's going to develop a.
And it may not be just him; it may be a group of investors. Yeah, it says RSS Properties. Yeah, so I guess it's a group of investors.
I think that's his initials.
It looks like they're going to have. It could have been R6. So as we talk about R6, that's a residential lot that's 6,000 square feet or larger, which is a little over a tenth of an acre. So rather than having a lot of homes built there, they're going to have some office space built there, which is obviously a great thing for the business community in Hernando. I think it's going to be probably some medical offices from what I understand.
Yeah, I would think. You know, he's the dentist, and he must have dental practice there with Paroli and them at, what's it called? DeSoto Dental?
DeSoto Family Dental.
Yeah. So it's right
Dr.
there.
Dr. Trotter, Dr. Paroli, great people. So we got that going on. So you will definitely be seeing some potential building going on that lot, but it will be medical office space from what I've been told. The Joy Health PUD amendment, that was item number 23 on our agenda, if you're following along, is the addition of an indoor soccer complex on Holly Springs Road, right near where Lee's Summit subdivision is. It'll be kind of behind Colonial Hills Church, if that helps you think about where this is. Called the Magnolia Sportplex.
And a lot of older people, man, I think you may remember, that's Mr. Lee on that property. He allowed, before we had the soccer facility out there on Robinson Road, that's where they played soccer there for a few seasons right there. So some people may be familiar with that.
They, great presentation that they gave. Brick and block building. To kind of help with the sound of, people playing soccer inside and practicing soccer inside. They say it's going to be used as a practice facility from 9 to 9 daily, 114 parking spaces,
I think 60. You said two full-size fields and a half field. Is that right?
Yeah. That sounds right. No more than 60 players inside, with, the adults. It's about 120 people or so inside the building at any time. For competitive use, if competitive clubs want to rent time, or the high school team or middle school teams, when the weather gets bad, they can still be able to practice.
Any of those teams. There's so many traveling soccer teams now, clubs.
And so I think the head soccer coach and for Hernando and North Point and some of the soccer boosters were there to speak in favor of it. And certainly the neighbors that are in that area were concerned about the amount of traffic.
One gentleman spoke about that being so close, and obviously the alderman there that represents that area, Ms. Ross, Beth Ross, she had some concerns and some questions about it. So she fought hard for her constituents. You got to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think then the pastor for Colonial Hills, I think was in favor of it and thought it would be a good thing potentially. And
yes.
It was one that was it was a split vote on that one, but ultimately it did pass. So it was a good thing for the soccer programs that are needing to have practice space and that sort of thing.
Well, we have the field house facility, and now we have I don't know what she's calling this thing. I don't think she told us the name of it. The soccer complex. Magnolia Sportsplex. So, I think it's just another thing. And really, if you look at our planning agenda, Ben, you got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 new businesses coming to Hernando, six new businesses coming to Hernando in one meeting we're approving. There's a lot of cities in Mississippi that would really just want one business to be coming to their town. And so we think we get, when we think about, what we call good problems or whatever, we have to worry about controlling the growth. And there's a lot of other areas that would really just die to have a lot of this. So.
And I understand traffic concerns for sure, and people don't want to sit in traffic. They don't want it to be an inconvenience to get out of their home or their neighborhood. Completely understand that, and a lot, but many times traffic is very dependent on what time of day you're talking about.
Sure.
And so I think that was key to a lot of our decision, is that this is a facility that's not going to be open all the time. It's just going to be open 9 to 9. So in the morning when you're trying to get out,
you would think just being rational that it's going to be on the weekends and then, the evenings during the week. So
I think it's going to be a really good addition for the soccer community for sure, and for people that are, as the sport continues to grow, it's going to offer another option for.
And I think they toss around the idea of maybe partnering with the church there to maybe have some type of league or. Maybe the city could have some type of league there or something, you know, like they do in South Haven. They have that indoor league that's, I think, become really popular.
It is. It is. It's busy. The next one that we had was the Ironwood PUD, which was right at the Green Tea.
Doesn't that sound like a biker gang? You know, I was thinking about
the Ironwood, the Ironwoods or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking more like golf, like iron, like a irons and your woods.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's near the golf, maybe because it's near the golf course as well. I was thinking of that. It's right near the golf course area there, right at Green Tea and Mackinvale. It's the northwest corner.
Yeah.
And the MST is, MST Development is the folks that brought this to us, and they have a convenience store and a hotel that they're wanting to put in right there in the next about 18 months.
I think it's a four-phase project, Ben. The first phase is going to be a convenience store area, I think some offices or some like shopping center area, and then a I think he's at some type of Marriott hotel or something.
Yes. Yes.
And then the plan is to have another two additional hotels, some more shopping, you know.
As the market develops.
Yeah, I think it's four different places, phases, but you never know how the market goes with that. But could be a chance to really be a big shot for Hernando, I think. If it's developed correctly and as projected, you know, I think it could be a possible spot for a Chick-fil-A or you know, some type of upscale restaurant like that or what's the guy's name that ran for Alderman Ben and said he was gonna get us a new restaurant that's non-Mexican? What was his name?
Oh gosh,
Mr. Cotton.
Okay.
Yeah, he was for any restaurant that was non-Mexican.
Well, I think they may put one here. They may put one here. You know, it was a 6-1 vote. I was the biggest concern that I had against it was not necessarily in the development or the height of the hotel or anything, which it's gonna be a 6-story hotel. It's gonna be really tall building out there, but our fire chief said we're good to go on that. He said that during our meeting, but my concern was the intersection there that we still, you know, don't necessarily have a true plan for just yet.
We got a surprise at the meeting, didn't we, Ben?
The mayor did say that he had a discussion the day of the meeting that there may be some funds available to start the design work with MDOT, but that they would want a roundabout there, which is kind of what you would expect from MDOT. That's kind of the direction they're going right now. So yeah, I mean, there's money that has to be allocated. It's got to be designed. It's got to be engineered. It's going to take a lot of time. You know, these folks are wanting to, you know, get dirt moving and get buildings going.
Sure.
Within 18 months, and government just does not move that fast in terms of infrastructure projects. So I would be very surprised if that is resolved. And that was kind of, from a timing standpoint, I didn't know if that was the safest and best thing for our community, but you didn't
use the word.
What?
Traffic study. You got to say it.
Oh, there's a traffic. Yeah, a traffic study's coming. Apparently there's a traffic study, I guess the MDOT's doing to kind of come up with what the potential impact's going to be with the hotel, with the high school, with all these things going on. So traffic study for MDOT. Do you not like, are you anti-traffic study?
Yeah, that's the...
What is... They said they needed a traffic study to say that the funds could be spent. That's the MDOT way. That's the bureaucracy we go through.
Yeah. So eventually, I guess what you're saying, ultimately, you're making the announcement tonight or today that there would be a roundabout at...
That's what MDOT's recommendation is.
The Green Tea in Mackinvale. That's what you're saying now?
They're saying that it will. That if you don't have a roundabout, that traffic's going to pile up all the way onto the interstate. And that there won't be anything they can do about it. They got to have free-flowing traffic moving through there.
Sure.
All right. That's that. That's moving forward. We also had an ordinance to allow golf carts on public streets. So that passed unanimously. I think, you know, after a two-hour meeting, there probably could have been some more discussion on it. I personally wanted a little more discussion on it. But everybody was ready to vote, and so it passed, and we can make changes to it.
Yeah,
you know,
I
later,
think we're going to have to make some changes, Ben. I think the intent of this was not to hinder anybody's, you know, from driving their golf cart to the golf course to play golf or anything like that. I think, you know, but you know, we don't serve in the executive branch of government, so our job is to pass an ordinance in this case, or a law, and then the executive branch was the mayor and his team will then, you know, dictate and determine how to accomplish that law. So I think he's going to have he's going to get his team together and come up with a plan of how to. I think there was a question about inspecting golf carts and having people bring it up there. I think that's ridiculous and silly.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not what the intent was. I think you know, there's got to be some kind of mechanism for them to you know, make sure the golf cart's safe or whatever, but I don't think you're going to have to haul grandma's golf cart up there to have it looked at. I think that's ridiculous. The fee, I think we're charging $100 or whatever to do it, and then there'll be a sticker on your golf cart.
Well, I mean, there's some things that I thought about, you know.
I think we have to look at the speed, too. I think the speed may need to go down to 25.
Yeah, I think that the speed on the road, like what road you can travel on. Two, anybody that has – maybe they live somewhere else in Mississippi that allows these. Mm-hmm. They lived in a city where they've already gotten this kind of certification. They can just transfer it, and there's like a $25 transfer fee or something like to get a new decal or whatever it is. There's, you know, do it like insurance does. Like when you get a new insurance policy, you take a picture from each corner of your vehicle to show that it's not damaged in any way and that it's working.
Yeah.
And just can you email the photos to the city clerk's office and then get your decal sent out to you at, you know, $25 or whatever the amount,
yeah,
whatever the fee is. Let's try to simplify this and make it easier for people.
I think the mayor, he had made those kind of statements up to me. I think that's what he's going to try to do. I think he's going to pull in his team and see, you know, and at the end of the day, too, I think you'll stop seeing the police being so hard on golf carts. So I think that was kind of the intention, too.
And main thing is, if you're going to ride, whether it's a golf cart, whatever the deal is, wear your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive. It is still a motor vehicle on a road. Don't drink and drive. Wear your seatbelt.
Sure.
Don't let your kids drive if they're under the age of 16. If they're 12 years old driving a golf cart around the neighborhood, yeah, that's not okay. It can be really dangerous because people don't look out for them. If they blow, yeah, through stop signs, it's just, you know, it can be dangerous for sure. So
I don't think the intent of most people when they drive a golf cart is for commerce. I don't think they're driving to.
No, they're trying to go from one house to another.
Grandmother's house or to the golf course or to, mm-hmm, the neighbor's house or something and not having to walk. You know,
you're just wanting to enjoy the wind, yeah, in your hair and do the thing. Right. I
think the mayor had mentioned something about maybe people driving up to Windy City. That's certainly they could do that, I guess. But I don't think that's what the majority of people are going to be doing.
I do think over in my part of town, you could conceivably, with this new ordinance, if you had a golf cart and you lived in Forest Meadows or Notting Hill, you could take back roads and make it all the way to Walmart and back. So you could go if you wanted to make a grocery run in your golf, yeah, cart.
Well, that brings up a good point too. But I think the planning commissioner Austin, or the planning director Austin, is going to put out a map of all the roads that are 35 miles an, mm-hmm, hour or lower, and so we'll see what that looks like.
Go up to Walmart, get you some, you know, get you a sandwich for Subway, and come on back to the house. All in your golf cart. You feel like you're at the beach.
You can do like the Uber Eats now and don't have to worry about it.
That's true. That's a good point.
Save some gas.
So that was all the stuff we discussed at our board meeting. Again, a lot of stuff going on tomorrow, April the 20th. You have Mudbug Bash with the Palmer Home going on in the square. There's an Earth Day celebration, the opening of the farmer's market. It's the first farmer's market of the season.
9 o'clock, I think, is when they're ringing the bell.
That's always a big thing. The DeSoto Arts Council is going to have some set up over on their property to do arts and crafts with the,
sure,
kids,
sure,
most of the day. It will be a very busy day on the square. Come on out. The roads are going to be blocked and all that, so you can go, come and go as you please and bring the family out. It'll be a really good time. Should be a fun weekend in Hernando. And then, you know, A-Fair and some of these other things are coming up, you know, pretty soon as well. So there's a lot going on right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, next month you got the A-Fair, I think May 17th, May 18th, something like that. So
a lot going on in Hernando right now. So it's that spring, summertime. School's almost done. Only, I think, about 25 more days or something like that. Somebody was telling me.
Oh, yeah, my oldest son, he's ready to go. He's done.
And there's nothing like summertime in Hernando. But right now it's spring. We're still enjoying spring. Go get you some mud bugs. Go get you some farmer's market action going on. And that's all we've got for this week.
Yeah. I'm Ward 4 Alderman Chad Wicker.
I'm Alderman Ben Piper. Thanks for listening.